So, Pastor, come on forward and give us a little update with what's been going on with your family and housing. And
God bless you. Thanks. You're going well with our house search. Good news. We actually our house had an appraisal done and it came back at value. So now we're just waiting to close on that, and we have an accepted offer and a signed purchase agreement on a house in Cass City. So we're just moving through the mortgage process on that. Cool. Yeah, so thank you everybody for your prayers and support and the continued prayers as we move through this time of transition. We're really excited to finally be able to close and move, but in this time it's very nice and very much appreciated the way everybody's been supportive and praying for us. So thank you all. I love my wife. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's a good response. I do, and I know it's easy to say. Any man who is married should say, "I love my wife." And any woman who is married, I hope you would say, "I love my husband." Knowing myself, if other men are like me, sometimes it might be a little more difficult than husbands for us to say, "I love my wife." Can I get an amen? Yeah. But really, I do. I got to know Alyssa a little over a decade ago. She reached out to me. We met through some friends that were getting married. A friend of mine from Olivet was marrying her childhood best friend. She reached out to me to do something nice from the wedding party to the bride and groom. And I fell in love in the first conversation that we had over the phone. I was living at home in Livonia. She was living in Chicago. And I remember going back in the house. I had been talking to her outside. It was a nice early spring day. It was probably 60 degrees. I had been out working in the garage, not doing anything cool or impressive. I was sweeping the garage when she called, which I guess is pretty impressive for me to actually take time to sweep the garage. But I remember talking to her and going back in the house to get a drink afterward, and my mom said, "Well, that was a while. Who is that?" I said, "It's this girl, and I think I'm going to marry her." My mom says, oh yeah? Is that right? I said, "Yeah, I do." And you know, it's a funny thing, because I could have let it be there of just this initial crush and this initial love, but I didn't. I got this taste of Alyssa, who she was in that first conversation, how kind she was, how gentle she was, how loving she was. She was putting together a selfless gift where she was reaching out to the bridal party to pool money to send our friends on a honeymoon that they couldn't afford otherwise. So I thought, well, that's pretty special. I got to get to know this girl. And this was a really busy time in my life. I was wrapping up. I had just ended a job in Livonia and looking at going back to Olivet and looking for a place to live, looking for work, traveling back and forth. And it was just incredibly busy. And it's one of those things that, even though Chicago's kind of on the way to Olivet, it still meant stopping to actually meet and get to know this girl. And it would have been really easy to just keep driving and go, "Oh, I'm busy, we'll see if it works out." But this woman was so impressive to me that every time I drove by Chicago, I stopped and met her. I remember our first date. I pulled up in the car. I had been driving for 4 or 5 hours, so I didn't look that great. I didn't smell that great. You know, like that car funk that you get in on long road trips? You don't have that here? Okay, well, I have that in my car. Maybe I just need an air freshener. But I remember pulling up and asking her on the phone, is this you? Because I had already taken a wrong turn and pulled up next to a homeless man who knocked on my window and asked me for money. And I looked at him, I don't carry cash, but here's a bottle of water. So I pulled up, is this you? Because we hadn't met at this point. And she looks at me and goes, yeah. And I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful that she did admit that it was her, and she did come get in my car, help me find a parking spot, and then we went on probably the best first date I've ever had, and definitely the last first date I will ever have, so thanks, babe. And we got to know each other, and it was awesome. And as time went on, all I wanted to do was just spend more time with her. She was not super on board with that plan at first. She thought, yeah, you're pretty cool, but I'm really not interested in dating. And I said, no, that's fine. We shouldn't date, but let's do that. I'm going to call you and text you, and we should go out on a date. And she's, okay, fine. If it'll shut you up and get you to leave, I wore her down, is what really happened there. Because I knew that there was something special there, and I just wanted to spend time with her. I wanted to seek her out. She was important to me. She was incredible. And I knew, I felt a draw that was from beyond me, because to give a little more background to this, at that point, I was not really interested in dating anyone before I met Alyssa. I was in a place where I felt, you know, I need to spend some time focusing on my life, my relationship with God. I need to get back in touch with my roots and my foundation. And then I met this woman, and it all got turned over. And the more I prayed, God, is this right? Should I really pursue this woman? I honestly felt God saying, yes, you should. Your instinct was right, and that was from me. You're going to marry her. And I am very, very glad I did. Again, it would have been easy with all the busyness that we both had going on. She ran a bakery up in the city. I was driving through trying to find work and then leaving for 3 months to go and study in Costa Rica. It would have been easy to let the relationship just kind of slip. Just let it be. But we made time for one another. Every day in Costa Rica, I'd get out of school, and before I would go to my job at my homestay brother's restaurant that he owned, I would stop at the internet cafe and I would video chat with Alyssa. And it wasn't out of a sense of duty that we were dating. It was just that I wanted to spend time with her. And those are some of the most cherished memories that I have of our time together. And even today, I still look to try and spend time with her. I ask my parents to watch my kids, and I say, hey, I just want to get to know you more. 11, 12 years in, I still am learning new things, and it's amazing. And it's awesome. I hope other married folks here are having the same experiences, because it's really cool. It's better than I imagined it could be. And I want to talk today. I was reminded as I was thinking about the relationships that we have, how important it is to take the time to seek somebody out that you want to have a relationship with, and what it is to seek somebody out that you have a relationship with. And it, in my mind, it was tied very closely with our relationship with God. How we seek him out? Do we seek him out? How often are we seeking him out? What is it to seek God out? Why don't we always seek God out the way we should be? I know I have been guilty of looking at my life and going, well, I go to church. That's pretty good. I go a few times a week. I'm pretty involved. That's pretty good. I could even now say, I'm a pastor. I clearly go to church every week. That's got to be pretty good. But it's not enough. If you want to have a real relationship, you have to seek God. And so let's take a look at Psalm 63, which is a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. And what's interesting to note with this is this is during the time that Saul, the current king of Israel, was leading his armies to find and kill David in the wilderness. Saul was angry because David had been anointed as the future king. The Spirit of God had left Saul, because Saul had forsaken God and disobeyed him. And so Saul's out with his armies, and we see a lot during this period, David singing songs of lament, God crying out to God, God, help me strike down my enemies. Please save me from this. And in the middle of these lamentations from David, we see Psalm 63, which on the surface, parts of it look like a similar cry and parts harken back to other psalms. But this is a true prayer of worship, similar to Psalm 23, similar to Psalm 42, but instead of talking about God, David talks directly to God. This is an intimate moment of prayer. While David is on the run, literally on the run, hiding in caves in the wilderness, David is recognizing the need to stop and seek God, just to spend time with him. And what he says is, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." It harkens back to Psalm 42 where David says, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, Lord, in this dry and parched land." I can only imagine, I've been busy before. I've had people that did not like me, some more than others. But I've never had anybody try and kill me. I've never actually had to run for my life. I can only imagine, spiritually, how draining that must be. I mean, we're living in a pretty spiritually draining time. We're bombarded by bad news from all sides. You just turn on the TV, pick up a newspaper. There's some good out there. We hear a lot of bad. If you go to social media, you see friendships falling apart because people are disagreeing on political and social issues. Relationships are cracking and breaking around us, and I don't mean to sound all doom and gloom about it, but it's pretty terrible sometimes. At least for me, it's pretty draining to see. David is seeing that Saul was like a second father to him. He took him into the palace because David knew how to soothe him when a certain spirit would overtake Saul. Saul's son, Jonathan, who would have been the natural successor to the throne, became David's best friend, and they became like brothers, to where David made an oath, a blood oath with him, "No matter what happens, you, Jonathan, and your descendants will always have a place at my table. I will always care for you." And now, this second father has turned and is trying to kill him, and he's on the run. So why is it? Because it would be so easy to just keep going about life. I mean, we have our problems today. We have work. We have family. Our kids have activities. I just recently had a third kid who is not usually sleeping more than 3 hours, which is why I look this. I mean, it doesn't get a lot better, but this is sleep deprivation at its finest, folks. It'd be really easy to say, "I'm just tired. I just need a nap. There's a lot going on. I got to get my kids to the games. I got to get them to school. I got to get the groceries. I have to do laundry. I should probably make my bed." I mean, that one falls through the cracks, like I should clean the bathroom. There's always things, right? There's a list. There's always something to do that's really busy. So why is it that we see David stopping to take a break? We see him pause. What I'm guessing was probably in a cave. There were many in that region, and they made good places to hide, especially back then when they didn't have flashlights and searchlights the way we do now. Would have been a whole lot easier to hide in the dark. But he says it right here. I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and glory. Your love is better than life. I will praise you with every day I have left. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. David has seen and touched and tasted and known the power and glory of God. He's seen that there's something special about this God. It's more than just a deity that's there the way, like, if you think about like the old Greek gods that people would pray to, but they never really were involved. This is a directly involved God and is the same God that we worship today. And David had tasted and seen this power. As Saul had tried to kill him in times past, David had called out, God, save me, and God had saved him, had delivered him an escape route. There was a time that David was able to sneak up on Saul while Saul was relieving himself in a cave. David could have overtaken Saul, but God also gave him an escape there. Rather than killing him, which would have, think of that, what that would take to do. God gave him an escape that David appreciated and cried out to God in thanks for later to protect Saul's life and run away. David knew this power of God, and he also knows not just God, you have power to save, but your love is better than life. You are the one who satisfies deeper than the richest foods. If you've ever had an amazing meal that just left you satisfied and full, like, unsnap the top snap of the pants, relax, let the food baby hang out. Like, it feels good. And you go to bed satisfied. David says, like that, only more are you to my soul, God. And so he takes time to seek him. And we see other prayers there. But most importantly, he sits and praises. How true it is then for us today, in our day and age, with more going on in society, sure, maybe no one's actively trying to hunt us and kill us with an army. But with everything going on, we recognize, and I hope you've seen it, I hope you yourself have tasted it, I have, that God is the God of power and deliverance and hope and peace. He's the author and sustainer of life who sought us out. As we heard the song's words this morning, was the Lamb of God slain for us. He is worth seeking. If we want to have peace, if we want to have joy, if we want to have hope, if there are broken relationships that we hope to see mended, God is the only one who can make things right. Eternally, there are a lot of things we can build a foundation on, but only God is the one who will never crumble, because he was from the beginning of time, he will be beyond the end of time. So we seek God because he is good. He's revealed himself to us. I've heard some stories, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of how God reveals himself, has revealed himself in the past to this church, this body, through even the building of this building. And in many other ways, I'm sure that I am very eager to hear more about. We've tasted and we've seen, and we know that God is good. And so I'd ask you, if you seriously examine today, if you seek God every day on your own, more than just you come to church and you try and do well the rest of the week, and this is where you get your feeding, which, by the way, this can't be. This, yes, it is good that we are here worshiping together. There's a reason that you have called me to be your pastor, is to help feed you. But the rest of the week, like, you could go out to dinner on Sunday and you could have somebody feed you, but I hope you're still cooking Monday to Saturday. Like, I hope in the morning you pour yourself a nice bowl, you get your Wheaties in to prepare for the day or whatever you like. I hope it's the same with your spiritual lives, that you're coming to church and you're being fed, and I hope I'm able to do that for years and years to come. But I also hope that Monday through Saturday, you have been and will continue to feed yourselves by picking up the scripture and praying. And if you're not, you are missing out. And that's what I want to talk about today, is why you should, because God is incredible and he is amazing. And if we want to have his peace and we want to be transformed into his image and likeness, we must be spending as much time with him as possible. I only got to know my wife because I spent time with her. I got to become a nicer, kinder, gentler person. Some of those things I learned from watching my wife, because I spent the time, because I opened myself up and listened, because I go to her sometimes, and this is why I love Alyssa so much. She's an equal partner to me. I married a strong woman, and I'm very thankful for that, because I can go to her and share an idea of something I'm thinking, and she can tell me, that is a really great idea, or that's a bonehead move. Don't do it that way. And I am very, very thankful for those moments. And so it is with God. We can go to him and share our every thought, our every desire, our every hope. And so what is it then? How should we do that? I want to give you something that if you're not pursuing God on your own time today, I want to give you some thoughts on how you should go about that, because you need to. You will not be a true disciple of Christ if you are not walking with him daily. There is no gray area there. I myself have been guilty of slacking off from time to time in my relationship with Christ. So if you're not there, you're not alone. There is always another level. I am still asking God every day, God, if I have been doing well, show me how to do it better. If I haven't been doing well, Lord, forgive me and come and set this right in my heart. Put your spirit in me to cultivate that hunger and thirst. So how do we do that? Let's take a look at the life of Jesus. While he was here, God came to earth. I figure that's probably the best way we can learn to relate to God, is by looking at him while he was here teaching us how to do the things he wants us to do. It's pretty easy. It's like with my parents. When I ask my mom, Mom, how do you cook well? She's like, you know, why don't I just show you? We can do that with Jesus through the scriptures, which is one of the first ways we seek God, is we pick up the scriptures. And if you do not have a Bible at home, please let me know. I will give you one. That's not a light offer. I will give you one. I actually have an extra one in my office right now. And if I run out, I will buy more. And I will give you a Bible. So please, if you don't have a Bible at home, let me know. We'll take care of that. But you need to pick up the scripture every day. Jesus knew the importance, even from a young age, of being in the synagogue, of coming to the church of the day, to listen, but also then as he grew, to teach and discuss with others the things of God, what the meaning of Scripture was, which is what we're doing here today. So good job. You're already doing step one. Step two is picking it up at home on your own and reading. If you're new to it, I highly recommend the Gospels, because you get to look directly at the life of Jesus. Again, God on earth, good place to start. And then something we see is really the next step there, is where Jesus, in the first chapter of Mark, verse 35, it says, then Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark, left the place where he was staying while he was doing ministry, and went off on his own alone to pray. We must find time to quiet the noise. I remember my friend Justin had this poster in his apartment that said, is the ambient noise of your life quiet enough that you can hear the whispers of God? It is so easy with everything going on to lose sight of it. Or even when we do sit down and pray, the kids are talking, we have the TV on in the background, we have the phone still sending us notifications. It makes it tough. And we need to practice what Jesus did in multiple places. He got up early. If you're not a morning person, stay up late. That's fine. God doesn't care what time it is on the clock. He cares that he has your undivided attention. Because to seek God is, as we talked about last week in the Beatitudes, is to acknowledge him as the real heavenly authority, to humble yourself and make the space for him in your life. And to do that in prayer. Jesus would spend all night praying. He would pull all-nighters in the middle of ministry where they didn't have cars and he couldn't drive around. He had to walk everywhere he went or ride on ships, which still took effort because you had to keep it the rocking. Jesus would pull all-nighters to pray. He outdoes me big time. I'm not to that point yet that I can pull all-nighters and pray and still be effective in preaching the next day. I have trouble with, you know, waking up every 3 hours and still getting a relatively full night's sleep. But we have to take that time. And so if you're willing and you're ready, God will meet you. And I want to share with you one more practical thing that helps me, and this is the way I approach prayer in my private time with God about 90 to 95% of the time. Is something that just helps me. I'm a person who likes structure. I'm a person who likes not necessarily repetition, but who likes a good framework to work in. And this helps me. If you guys want to pull it up, it's the ACTS prayer method. If you've heard of it, great. This is a refresher. If you've never heard of it, great. You're about to. ACTS prayer stands for the A. It stands for acknowledgement, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. The A for acknowledgement is what we just talked about. It's acknowledging God is God. He is the ultimate authority. It is our humility before God saying, you know what? I need to take this time to pray. Confession is exactly that. We know that God does not abide sin. God and sin are incompatible. So you have to confess, which, by the way, is not something that should be hard for us to do, and there's no reason to be arrogant and try and pretend like everything is fine. God sees us every moment. He was watching you in that sin. He was watching me when I have sinned. Confession should be pretty easy because he already knows. You're not telling God anything new other than, I am willing to admit and open myself up to you. The T, thanksgiving, is exactly that. Counting your blessings one by one. Thanking God for every good gift you've given in His, that He has given you in your life. As many as you want, whatever you feel is right, however much time you have. The S for supplication is prayers of intercession, praying for others, living out Christ's ministry in prayer. And ministering to others through the act of going to God on their behalf and asking God to move in their situations, in their hearts, and in their lives. And now to make this real, I'm going to lead you through, show you what this would look like for me. And we're going to pray, and then after we do that, or kind of as we're wrapping up there, I'll lead us through the Lord's Prayer, which if you ever have a moment where you just don't know what to do, what to say, how to pray, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. And he gives us a simple, beautiful prayer that acknowledges God and confesses that we need him. So let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray through this ACTS method to show you what it's like in a very real prayer. And then we'll close out. Heavenly Father and Holy God, you are the one true King, the rightful Lord over the earth and over my life. God, there are times that I just don't use my time well and I don't spend the time with you that I should. Just this week, I let the pressures of finishing out at work, of taking care of things with my family, and frankly, just self-entertainment keep me from spending every minute that I could have and some that I should have in prayer. Please correct my heart. Thank you so much for your forgiveness. That when we confess to you and I confess to you, you're faithful and just to forgive me. That you don't hold things against me. Thank you, God, for my family, the love and support. And thank you for this church that has been praying for me and my family by name. Thank you, God, for loving me. Your love is better than life. God, I pray for everyone at this church. You've heard our needs. You know the ones we haven't spoken about. I pray that you would meet them. I pray that you would pour your Spirit out on every person here today and those who couldn't make it. That you would drive us to hunger and thirst for you and seek you out. God, I pray for my parents. It's the first time in a while that we haven't been together at church. I pray that you would comfort them and give them peace. In your holy name, we pray. And now let us say the words of our Lord when he taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all. I appreciate you all being here. I would like to give an opportunity. I'll be here to talk again. Seriously, if anybody here doesn't have a Bible or you know somebody who doesn't have one that needs one, let me know. I'd like to go ahead and offer a blessing and then we'll dismiss. Now may the Lord bless you with his presence as you seek his face this week. May he open up himself to you as you open yourselves fully to him. May he grant you peace and joy in relationship with him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thanks, everybody.